Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Greg Crawford, or Gregory Crawford, or whatever you want to call me, on B-Ball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. where we bring on a very special guest from the basketball world. This is totally about basketball. It always will be. Might get off the subject just a little bit, but we have a lot of fun with this show, but it's also a serious side of this show is we want to get the word out about basketball and sometimes about leagues or something that are very good and talented players and outstanding coaches that don't get a lot of publicity, and that's kind of my mantra here. I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, only one C, and then at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com, where I write often about basketball, all levels of basketball, sports business, and golf. But we love interviewing this guy. He's a terrific interview. He never turns us down when we ask him, sometimes a little bit in the spur of the moment, sometimes plenty in advance. He's an outstanding coach and equally as good of a person. Mako Hamilton, the head men's coach at George Fox University in Newburgh, Oregon, member of the Northwest Conference. Good evening, Mako.
Hey, Greg. How's it going, man? Thanks for having me again.
Our pleasure. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your wonderful family and all the George Fox family. And it's going great. And Mako, I'll start right out. I go to most of my basketball games with five different people, and we go all the time, all over. And ironically, one is a George Fox graduate, one's a Lewis and Clark graduate, one's a Willamette graduate, one's a Pacific graduate. It's just the way it works out. And then I'm at the Big Bad Linfield graduate. And we all think this is going to be a great Northwest Conference race this year.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think there's some quality teams in our conference. Obviously, you know, you can just tell if you just kind of glance at the standings, you know, in the early part of our non-conference schedules. A lot of our teams have been playing very well. And I think a big part of that stems from the fact that obviously we have great coaches, great programs, and then a lot of those schools, we have guys that are experienced, that are back on a lot of these rosters. There wasn't a lot of turnover. So experience and great coaching, you know, lends to good things. So I think our conference is going to shape up to be very competitive this year.
Your pre-league play is not over, and I'll get to my venting act in a little bit. But anyway, you know, as conference play starts in the Northwest Conference, Mako, you're an outstanding coach, a brilliant basketball mind, and everyone around the game knows that. How do you personally, as a coach like that, measure your pre-league play?
Well, I think it's really important for us. It's my philosophy. You know, we want to try to schedule the most competitive non-conference schedule that we can. It allows us to have a good idea of who we are as a basketball team early. I think sometimes you can, you know, get some false interpretations if you aren't challenged. So it gives us a good idea of just kind of who we are, where we're at, and the things that we need to continue to focus on to really improve the team. And it sets you up, you know, when you head into the conference play, which, again, our conference is very, you know, very tough. So it gives us a, you know, a good kind of snapshot of what it's going to be like going in the league and the quality of opponents that we'll have to compete against night in and night out.
And you got one of those great tests last weekend when you played St. John's Johnnies, who the night before on a three-pointer at the buzzer had beaten the Pioneers at Lewis and Clark, and you played a great college basketball against them. And even though you didn't come out on the right side of the W, I would think you come out of that game even a tougher team and a better team, your own team.
Oh, there's no question about it. It was, you know, by far our best game in the early portion of our schedule. St. John's is a quality program. In my opinion, I think they're going to be an NCAA tournament team at our level. They're very experienced. And so, it was a great test. It was a great test for us. And like I said, those are the type of games where you can look at yourself afterwards and really have a strong evaluation of where you're at And for us, it was actually positive. Although we fell short in terms of the victory. I mean, we did a lot of great things that we have really been emphasizing in practices, and we saw improvement from our previous games. And really, it was a competitive game that came down to the final possession. So we were really excited about what we were able to demonstrate in that particular game.
Mako, I am going to ask you about this, and this will probably end me asking basketball coaches. I am not a proponent of playing league games and then going back and playing non-league games and then coming back and playing the league a month later. I don't quite understand, but I know what is said, why you have to do that in the Northwest Conference. To me, I don't like it. What are your thoughts?
Greg, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you. Especially when your season or your schedule comes out and it's finalized. I mean, you see those couple games kind of sandwiched in between your non-conference games, and it is. It's just tough. Really, this part of the year, you like to use it like I've said a few times already to better your basketball team in preparation for conference play. But once you're in the ebb and flow of the season, sometimes you can find good in it. I know for us personally, we have a young team who, in some ways I want to say it's kind of reinvigorated us. I don't think our morale has been down at all, but I think it's kind of given our guys this week a new excitement knowing that, we've lost a few games to start the year, but now we have conference games. It's kind of a clean slate. So in that aspect, I think we're in a good place this year to be able to handle it. But I would agree with you. I think overall, you prefer to get your non-conference games out of the way and then be able to just dive into your conference play and be able to focus on that 100%. But unfortunately, it's the nature of our unbalanced schedule, and we got to make do with it.
And as the kids say today, it is what it is, which is actually a very good statement. So you deal with it, you do the best with it. It shouldn't be that way, but maybe it's not going to change. And thanks for answering that candidly. Now, speaking of the league season, you're going to open up on Friday night with the Puget Sound Loggers. They lost to PLU by 11 points on Tuesday night. I've seen them play this year twice already in person. They have a talented team in my estimation. Justin Lunt does a great job. They're young like you guys. It sets up to be a good test.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely does. No, I mean, Justin does a great job. I always feel like Puget Sound, just in my couple years of being in this conference, I mean, they're very disciplined in terms of their execution. They're physical. I think they're one of the most, if not the most physically tough competitive teams in our league. I mean, they do the little things very well. You absolutely have to play a very sound fundamentally and very sound physical game to beat them. And so, I've obviously seen them on film multiple times, and this team is no different. Their makeup and their identity is a little different than what they've been the last couple of years, but in terms of the way that they play with heart and with physicality and toughness and discipline, I mean, those are traits that are still there. So it will set up to be a very exciting game. I think, he's opened it up a little bit more in terms of scheme stuff, and so I think it'll be an entertaining game. We're going to be doing some similar things, and it should be very competitive, and I know, both of us, it's very important to try to get a victory here early in this early portion of the conference schedule.
Mako, you should be very proud of this because it's because of you tonight. We not only have listeners all around the United States, but we have people listening to this program in 19 countries and a heavy amount of people listening in basketball crazy Australia. So I think everyone that's listening would like to know, you talk about looking at your future opponent. How much time does your staff spend looking at a future opponent, kind of scouting them? I know it probably varies, but give us kind of the scenario and the flavor for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a staff, I mean, you know, it does vary depending on just, you know, our game schedule and where we're at. But, I mean, you know, we put in a lot of hours in preparation. You know, our goal is to give our kids, you know, a couple of days prep, you know, for our upcoming opponent. And that's through film work, through scouting reports, through obviously on-court stuff. So, based on that, then, you know, the staff, we depending on, you know, when the opponent is and when our last game was, dictates the amount of time that we do. But I like to think we put in a lot of hours to prepare. You know, I know for Puget Sound, I mean, we've been working on them, you know, since our game ended last Saturday with St. John's, and really even started doing some stuff before that. So it's been several days that we've been prepping for them, and then we obviously follow that up with a game on Saturday against another conference opponent that we've already been diving into as well. So we, you know, we spend a lot of time preparing, but at the end of the day, you know, one of our big sayings in our program is do what we do. And, you know, we're not going to change who we are or our identity based on our opponent. We just want to make sure our kids have a good idea of what they're getting into. So that's kind of how we do it here. And we're so young right now that we'd be foolish to spend too much time on the opposition. We still got to clean up stuff in our house and try to get to be the best that we can possibly be doing our stuff.
Yeah, I once asked Mako, the great Rick Adelman, talked to Rick Adelman, who's one of the kindest people you'd ever meet, got to be a Hall of Fame, in the Basketball Hall of Fame, longtime NBA coach, highly successful. I said, Rick, do you play him one at a time? He says, Greg, you got to be crazy to play him one at a time in the NBA. We play him five at a time because of the brutal schedule. And that leads me to my question about in the Northwest Conference, obviously you're often playing Friday, Saturday. So you do play them one at a time, but you always got that next opponent that you got to get ready for in a hurry.
Yeah, you do. You know, and that's the challenge of playing back-to-back games. You know, but I think for, you know, and I think every team can do it a little bit different. Obviously, if you're a little bit more experienced and your kids are seasoned and been through the league, it's different. You know, for us as being young, I mean, we really do have to focus one opponent at a time. We really have to have our kids kind of dialed in, you know, not having too many things thrown their way. I think obviously the coaching staff, we're thinking ahead in terms of just being prepared so that we can present, you know, great information to our kids. But in terms of, you know, what we're communicating to our guys and then what we're, you know, asking them to soak in, you know, we really do it game by game. And that's the focus for us. You know, you're only as good as your next opportunity. And so that's what we're trying to really hone in on. And then when that ends, then we jump to the next test. So that's how we do it at George Fox. And I think a big part of that is because of our youth and our inexperience, and we're really trying to keep these guys, you know, focus as best as we can.
Mako, for people that listen outside of the Northwest, I always use this line because it's not name dropping. It is what it is. Two of my very closest friends are John Spoelstra and Stan Love. Their sons are not too bad in basketball, but John and Stan always rave about the high school coaching and teams in the Northwest. You were one of those people they raved about when you were at Union High School in Southwest Washington. We're really blessed around here with talented players in this area and great coaching from the high school ranks, and that's got to help any college coach.
Oh, it absolutely does. No, I mean, when I was coaching at the high school level, I mean, that was one of the great challenges, you know, just going up against other great coaches around the state and even in the Northwest, which is awesome. And now, you know, obviously making that transition to the collegiate level as a now looking at high school kids with a different perspective, that's something that you're really looking for. Kids that come from great programs who are well coached, not only in terms of the fundamentals, but really just in terms of their basketball intelligence. And it's a great thing. And I think, you know, I would put our area, our region up against any in the country when it comes to that in terms of preparing kids, doing things the right way. You see a lot of different things schematically, and it's a great thing. And so, you know, in our short time, the kids that we've received from the Northwest have been great. They pick up things well. They're very, very much
savvy in terms of their basketball knowledge, and that's a direct correlation to, you know, to the coaching and the things that we do, you know, in our area.
You know, one of your students in your school came down to me tonight, was watching the Jake, was watching the Portland State, University of Portland game, and I got to talking to Jake, and he knew that I was going to interview you tonight, and he wanted me to ask you a question, which I'm going to, but, you know, Jake's gonna go into the ministry, he told me, and that's great, and he said he's going to do two things. He's going to help as many people as he can, and he's always going to be a basketball nut. So that's not a bad combination, Mako. And he wanted me to ask you, and I had asked you this before, and I told Jake it's a good question. Who might be in the Northwest Conference? You've only been there a couple of years at George Fox, but who might be George Fox's biggest rivalry? And he had a second part to that question, Mako. Is it important to have a rival in the basketball world in any league?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, we kind of have I think our school has a natural rivalry with Winfield, you know, same county, you know, 15 minutes apart, 15 to 20 minutes apart, you know, 10 miles. So the proximity of the schools, the location obviously lends to that. You know, but like I think I mentioned this before, you know, for us,
sure.
You know, the rivalry for us is the team that's, you know, or the teams that sit, you know, at the top of the perch in conference. And so those are the teams that we're gunning for and that we want to take down. That's no disrespect to anyone else, because every opponent we want to beat, but you always want to be at the top. You want to be the best. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. And I think both of our programs at Linfield and at George Fox are very much in the process. And I know Shannon would say the same thing at Linfield. We're in the process of changing them and turning them around. So hopefully there'll be a day when we're both, you know, winning a lot of games, and it will bring excitement to that county. But in terms of just the need for rivalries, I think that's probably something that's more beneficial to fans and you know, students at schools. I think as basketball players and coaches, you know, we don't value a game more than another. I mean, obviously, you know, I'd be foolish to say that, you know, when Whitworth comes to play you and they're ranked second in the country, I think there's a little bit more excitement and a little bit more giddiness from your kids. But at the end of the day, I mean, when you step on the floor and you compete, you want to win. You know, you don't wins don't have a value to them. It's a victory, and losses don't have a value either. It's a defeat. So from that standpoint, I mean, you know, every game needs to be looked at as a rivalry, because it's an opportunity to compete and try to give your best effort.
You know, and speaking about Whitworth, Mako, your thoughts on this? I know every coach wants to win every game. Candidly, if you ask some coaches in the West Coast Conference, they'll tell you it's going to be a long time before we can compete with Gonzaga. We got to worry about ourselves, and I understand that. But you know, my dad was an excellent boxing coach, and he did subscribe to the theory that you, to beat the champion, you got to knock him out. And my question to you is, somebody's got to knock Whitworth off that perch, and it's wide open. It might as well be George Fox. And I think to knock him out, you got to beat him at home occasionally.
Yeah, you absolutely do. No, I mean, and that's a tough task. They have an outstanding home environment, home court advantage, I think, you know, better than anyone in our conference, and very, you know, very honestly, I think they have one of the top home court advantages probably in all of college basketball on the West Coast, really, at any level. It's a great environment, and they play extremely well there. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, in order to get to where they're at, you got to be able to beat them at your place. There's no question about that. And I think it's going to take an effort by someone to go there and defeat them on their floor. And, you know, we were close a couple years ago. It's not an easy thing to do. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think, you know, the goal for every coach in our conference is to try to bring in the best talent possible, and then to mold that talent to give the best effort so that they can reach their potential. And then you see what happens from there. So we're all in the same business of trying to be the best. And, you know, Whitworth has had a sustained run of success, you know, with Jim Hayford and now the Matt Logie, and those are great coaches, and now it just it sets the bar high for everyone else, and as a competitor, you wouldn't want anything else.
Mako, what are the keys to winning on the road besides scoring one more point than the opposition? But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, I watch a lot of basketball. I watch over 150 games. I'm going to watch this year live and in person college basketball games start to finish. And I'm thinking sometimes it's better to have a young team on the road where they don't know a lot of the history and they go in there and they're not quite as nervous.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I think, you know, really the challenge with road games, I think, you know, are a couple of things. One, you just get out of kind of your natural rhythm of just your daily structure. You know, you're traveling, you're sleeping somewhere that's unfamiliar, you're usually probably eating, you know, out. Your schedule's just a little bit different. So that can throw off our bodies a little bit. And then really the second thing is you're just playing in an unfamiliar, you know, unfamiliar venue, whether it's the lighting, the backdrop, the setting, you know, the feel. It's just different. And I think those two factors are really the biggest contributor to why it's so difficult to play on the road. I think at the end of the day, like the crowd, you know, I don't think that really affects players when they're dialed in. I think it may help the home team. It gives them a little bit of boost, extra adrenaline, maybe allows them to battle through fatigue or adversity. So that obviously is a positive for the home team. But really for the visitors, I don't think that changes much. I just think the biggest thing is you're just in an unfamiliar place. And so you're absolutely right, you know, Greg. Sometimes young kids, you know, it doesn't matter where they sleep or what they eat. They just want to show up to the gym and play, and they know no better, and they can put out a great effort. And sometimes guys just thrive on that, just a new setting or, you know, a hectic environment. Sometimes that brings out the best in us. So I think that's the biggest challenge. And so for coaches, you know, I know for us, it's our job to try to make it as close to normalcy as possible, and we like to stay very structured in what we do, and we like to be very consistent in how we approach our schedule when we're on the road, and we hope that that'll have a carryover, especially as we dive into conference play and you know, where we'll be traveling, you know, week in and week out.
Mako, in closing, something obviously very important to you, your family. You're a basketball coach, and that's sometimes a little bit hard on families, but most coaches find a way to balance their life. Talk a little bit about your family, and every month is big for any family, but this is a huge month for most families if you celebrate Christmas, as most people do, and I imagine you're going to have a lot of fun this month, not only coaching basketball, but with your family.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is a great time of year. You know, I have a beautiful wife and two young kids, 7 and 4, and so they're really at an age where they soak this season up, and it's something that you know, we enjoy. I mean, these days are special. They're unique, especially when the kids are, you know, they get a little break from school and they're around the house a little bit more. So it's really good. And that's a big challenge as a coach, is to find that balance of, you know, working hard to prepare your team and to do your job, but then also you know, obviously having that obligation to be a present husband and a present dad, and so that's always a challenge, but it's something that I'm very mindful of, and so you know, this time of year, these days are those, you know, you really cherish those, because you do get to spend some valuable time with your family and do some unique things, and so it's really cool. So we're excited for the holiday season. We're excited to see some extended family who we don't see quite often, and we'll definitely cherish this time and hopefully make a lot of great memories.
Very good, Mako. You're a credit to as a human being. You're a credit as a basketball coach, and I'm honored to be able to interview you as much as I can, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, Greg. It's you know, again, I always appreciate you having me on, and it's been great.
Yeah, terrific. And our good buddy Mako, Cliff Wagner, is a little under the weather, so we'll kind of send a little shout out for him to get well. He doesn't get down too often, but he's not feeling very good.
Well, it's better, as good as it's happening now, because he's going to need to be 100% healthy here when they get to that stretch run in conference play. So hopefully he's getting those little sniffles out of the way. But I second that. I hope wish Coach Wagner some, you know, obviously some well wishes as he recovers and gets better.
Very good. And Mako, before you go, I apologize for not asking this earlier, but tell everybody how they can follow you on Twitter and how they can get a hold of you, because I'm already getting questions from that, from our listeners piling in here, because they like what you have to say, and they may have a 6'9" person. Who knows?
Hey, if they have a 6'9" person, they can call me anytime. But no, they can follow me at Twitter, at Coach Shark, SHARK. You can email me, mhamilton@georgefox.edu. And yeah, we're, you know, very much a staff that's open to communicating and, you know, anything that I can do to provide information about our university, our basketball program, or just anything in general, you know, we're always available for that. So I appreciate the opportunity to share that information.
You betcha. Mako, doesn't this show that we just ending right now prove that a Linfield guy can have a civil interview with a George Fox guy?
It absolutely does, Greg, and it's all about the character of the individual, and you're a high-character guy. So we maybe the institution, I don't know if I can say too many great things about that, but the individual absolutely can.
Thank you. And you know, Mako, the funny thing, I'll leave you with a laugh, and you can tell your family, you would not believe how many people get mad at me when I interview somebody from George Fox, or I interview Denari or Kip or Tim. Seriously, they don't know why I'm doing it. I mean, that's how petty sometimes people can be, but I handle it pretty good.
You absolutely do. Yeah, that's the way the world works sometimes. But no, it's great. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Good night, Mako, and we'll talk to you again hopefully before Christmas. If not, Merry Christmas. Have a great holiday season. We'll definitely have you on several more times during the basketball season. Good night for
all
now.
Right, sounds good, Greg. Likewise to you as well. Thank you.
You betcha. That's Mako Hamilton, the head men's coach at George Fox University. A tremendous interview, tremendous person. You know how to get a hold of him now if you need to. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to make your free throws. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. Enjoy yourself and be safe.